Okay, yesterday was Daf Mem Beis. Today's Mem Gimel. We'll do a review of yesterday's Daf. Get to today's. Have in mind that our learning should be a merit for the Yidden Eretz Yisrael.
Amen.
Also, Lili Nishmas Yitzchak Heschel Ben Arvin Gedalia, Tzar Bas Menachem, Bas Ami, Bas Shleim Zalman Yirmiyahu, and also for Shleima to Hadas Basronya, Miriam Baset Yezisel, Yitzchak Ben Yael Zahava, Chai Rachel Bas, Tvora, Tzvito Ben Chasha, Yisrael, Yoshua Ben Mina, yeah? Okay, and also Chava Bas Dal Yehinda, and Shoshana Goldabracha Bas Yael Rina, amongst all else who need a refuah. All right, and with that, so what did we learn yesterday? So we're talking about a pikadon, and meaning somebody gave money to somebody else to watch, and he tied it up in a, you know, in a knot, in a kerchief, and he put it behind his shoulders and, you know, held it behind his back. So, or he gave it to his children who are minors to watch, and he didn't lock the door properly. So all those things is chayiv if something happens, because that's not called watching in the proper way. If you did watch the way Shomrim watch with normal expected standard of care or standard of practice, so then you'd be potter. Now, right, but that's what they talk
reasonable,
about.
Reasonable, prudent person.
Right, exactly. There's the lawyer's terms over here. Interesting, you know what they have, like people who like to steal pocketbooks, so that's what they do. They cut the strap and grab, right? It's a cut and grab. That's what their move is. So if you're holding it behind your shoulder, it makes it very easy for them to do the same cut and grab. So you're inviting people to take. So basically, that's not called watching properly.
How about you used to do that with a stick?
Yeah, right. All those, right? The hobo, right? Exactly, because that's everything they had was on a stick, and they tied it to the stick, and then they put it on
their shoulder. Okay, like that.
Right. So yeah, but that's when they're hobo. Nobody's stealing from them. If you have something of
value, like the same thing.
Right? You have something of it. It's exactly what it is. Yeah. All right. So, so the Gemara wants to know how are you supposed to hold your money. The answer is it's possible in the Torah. It says "Vatzartak isn't biyadecha," she means that even though it's tied, you need to keep it in your hand, not over your shoulder. Once we're talking about, we kind of get sidetracked in a few memories from Rav Yitzchak about how to handle money. So always keep money handy. That's another thing that Rav Yitzchak says, as the Pasuk says, "Vatzartak isn't biyadecha," and also divide your wealth into three parts. A third in real estate, a third in business, you know, like earning money. So your money is being put to work. And the third is kept in cash accessible. And Rashi says that's the purpose of that is that sometimes you might have an opportunity to make money and you need, and it's, you know, you have to have cash at the ready to be able to grab that opportunity. That's why it's important to have cash also. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak also says that blessing is not found except if it's something that's some way minayin, has to be hidden, and that's the hinted at in the pasuk, because it says, Yitzhav Hashem es habracha, where ba'asa mecha, in what's some way minayin, hidden from the eye. School of Rabbi Shmuel also says, it's dealt with something that the eye is not sholet for. So you don't flaunt your wealth. That's really, by the way, what we're talking about. If you flaunt your wealth, and it's like sort of gets like limited. But if you keep it hidden, it's able to increase. When you're going to measure your silo, so there's a special prayer that you're supposed to say, Shetishlach Brach Mas Yadenu. Once you measure, when you start measuring, you say Shalech Brach Baruch Hashalech Brach B'Kreseh. But after the measuring, and then you say the bracha, that's a tefillah shov, because you already know how much it is. It's like you're not gonna, God's not gonna add on in like an open way. That's what we say, that bracha is not mitzuya, it's something that's weighed, measured, or counted. To only some women iron, and then we quoted that same pasuk. So that took us to back to our topic, what is the right way to watch money? So first Shmuel says that the only safe place to keep money is underground.
Underground?
Underground, buried. You bury the money. That's what he says. Okay.
Good tip.
Not under the mattress. That's not a good idea.
No, it's everybody knows that one.
Everyone knows that one.
You won't be able to sleep. It's
you don't
lumpy.
Have your cougar ends buried in your backyard?
I have other kind of things buried in my backyard.
Really? Don't tell us about that. You don't want to know. Too much information.
All right. Rabbi says that Shmuel agrees that if it's Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos, when somebody gave you a deposit, you definitely do not have to be busy burying it right before Shabbos. But right after Shabbos, you should. If there was enough time, then you'll be chayiv. However, if it's a rabbinical student who gave you the money to watch, so then you have an excuse that you might think that he might need the money at the ready. If he needs money for Avdallah to buy wine, he's makbid to use wine for Avdallah, and he may not have, so he may have to go out to buy. So that's why you would keep the money ready for him. Now, that was the good way to watch before the Ganavim were onto that. But now that the Ganavim know that people bury their money, so they go around with these sticks and they stick them into the ground to see if there's money there. So they're poking through the ground to find the money. So therefore, that doesn't work anymore. So therefore, you have to put it up in the attic. And then when they realized that they started putting money in the attic, so you got to just stay one step ahead of the crooks. So anyway, they were pulling up the roof to find the money there. So therefore, you have to put it now between the walls, in the outer wall and inner wall of your house. And Shmuel agrees that a kaisel is also a good place to hide it. It's like burying in the ground. However, there started coming people who are checking the walls. They tap wall tappers. That are tapping the walls to try and find the hollow, where it's no longer a hollow sound. They know there's something there, so the only place that's safe in the walls is the air in the tefach, right to the top, because it also doesn't sound hollow yet, or the tefach all the way at the bottom doesn't sound hollow yet. It's very interesting. Anyway, that's where you have to hide the money. Rav Acha Brid Rav Yosef said Rav Ashi. We learned. Elsewhere that chametz that was buried, so then it's considered destroyed. And Shem Gamliel says as long as the dog can't dig after it, and how deep is it that a dog can't dig after it? 3 tefachim deep. So the question is the same requirement of 3 tefachim over here or not? And the answer is that over there, the idea is that if the dog can smell it, he's going to want to, dig after it. So therefore, the 3 tefachim is because the smell will penetrate the 3 tefachim. However, but if it's... But here, it's just the goal is to be hidden from the eye, so you don't need 3 tefachim. How much do you need? Only a tefach. Okay, so there was a fellow who gave money to his friend, and he put it in this like hut that was like used to for like hunters. They would like to camouflage themselves. Now that's like a really sneaky place to put money because nobody would expect people to give money there. Okay, it's very unexpected.
They call that a
what is it? A blind. I think. Yeah. Anyway, in the end, it was stolen. It was stolen from there. So Rav Yosef said, look, as far as Ganav, that was a very protected place. But as far as fire, that's a very stupid place to put it because it can easily catch fire. It's made strictly out of wood. It's very flammable. So you're tchilasu b'pshiv sabonis and you're still chayv. That's version A. Version B is chosav b'shiv sabonis is potter. And then the Gemara says that the bottom line halacha is chosav b'shiv sabonis is chayv. So you'll be chayv in that case. It's another story. A guy gave money to his friend. And he says, give me my money back. And he says, I don't know where I put it. So that's where Rabba says that saying, I don't know, that's being negligent. If you don't know where you put the money, that is negligence. And therefore, you have to go pay. There was a fellow who gave money to his friend, and he gave it to his mother to watch, and she put it in like a money chest, whatever. Anyway, it got stolen. So Rava says, "What's the judge? What? How do I judge this case? On the one hand, you want to make this guy pay." He's like, "What do you mean? I have a right to give it to my mom. That's part of, like, we learned that you can give it to the household, right? Any member of the household is that's an adult is understood that he's gonna that it doesn't mean it's not called giving it over to somebody else. It's part of the general okay. It's assumed that he's going to be using his household members to help him with stuff. Well, maybe make the mother responsible. She's like, well, I didn't know that this is somebody else's stuff that I have to bury it. So you tell him, well, why don't you tell mom that it's somebody else's money? So he says, what do you mean? I thought for sure. She says, what is she going to do? If I told her it's my money, she'll watch it even better, right? Okay. So therefore, the psak was, Rebbe says, is that he has to swear that he gave it to his mother. His mother would have to swear that she put it in the box and it was stolen, and then they're potter because nobody was really negligent over here, and that's just the way, that's what it is. There was a case of a trustee of orphans that bought an ox for the orphans, and he gave it to the cowboy, and it didn't have any teeth, and therefore it couldn't eat, and therefore it died. So Rambam Bar Chama says, well, how do I judge this case? Is the guy who bought the animal at fault? He's like, what did I do wrong? I did the proper care, which is giving it to the cowboy to take care of. And it's not, I gave it to the professional. What are you going to say? The cowboy's responsible? He's like, what did I do wrong? I mean, this is, he put it with all the other cows. I put food in front of all of them. How should I know that it doesn't eat? So the Gemara says, well, that's kind of a lame excuse. If you're a professional, you should know. You should check and make sure. You know what I mean? That's part of your being paid to watch it. So you should be responsible. So the Gemara says it's a little more complicated here because the loss is not really accruing to the orphans. And the reason why not is because it's what we call like a mekartos. After all, the guy who it was bought from sold them a bum cow. So they get the money from him. It's that guy who's upset. It's like, why don't you tell me that my animal didn't have teeth? And he's like, well, how do you not know that your own animal has teeth? The answer is because there was via middleman who buys and sells from one from the other, and he just facilitates it and takes a commission basically, and therefore he didn't know what he was getting, and that's the idea. So therefore, the bottom line ruling for that is that he swears that he didn't know, and the owner has to swear that he didn't know that his own animal had no teeth, and then the cowboy will pay a bus or bezol, which is like the when meat is on sale, which is because that's what the loss is, kind of like we're sort of minimizing his responsibility. Whatever, if they would have been able to slaughter this cow and sold it at a discount, because basically that's pretty much when you think about it. That's pretty much all he could do with this animal. His animal's not going to live long without teeth, so you got to salvage it right away, make a fire sale, and because you wouldn't be able to sell. And that's basically what it should have been, and he's paying that amount, which we said is 2/3 its regular price. Okay, brought us to the next story. A guy gave hops to his friend for some beer, and he himself had his own pile of hops. And he told his brewer to use his hops, not the other hops. And the guy went and used the other guy's hops. So Rav Amram said, how do I judge this case? I mean, if I tell him tell him to pay for the other guy's hops, he can argue, what do you mean? I told my brewer not to use the other to use these hops. I didn't tell him to use those hops. And what's the brewer going to say? Yes, he told me to use those hops, but he didn't say don't use the other hops. So I thought it was just for convenience sake. So that's why I used the other hops. So what's the deal over here? So the Gemara says, but still, why is there a loss even? I mean, bottom line is hops. It flavored the beer. What's the problem? The answer is that there is a problem here because the hops that were used actually made the beer spoiled or whatever. It was just poor quality. And therefore, that's why it's more complicated. Anyway, bottom line is, he would have to pay the value of the hops that's poor quality according to the extent that it did improve his beer, and not more than that. And that was where we left off yesterday. Brings us